I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen! I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Boldly he says it. He proclaims it. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. No matter what, we must be given the resurrection body. It's too sad to go to heaven and live for like 70 or 80 years and then have to leave. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. We must be changed into an imperishable spiritual being, that we can truly inherit the kingdom of God, the imperishable. Paul suddenly says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Wow, I get chilled just saying this verse out loud. Listen, I tell you a mystery. Now he tells us the secret of how we are going to have this resurrection body. When, on the day when Jesus comes again, there will be a loud trumpet blast from heaven. Then those believers in the grave will rise first with the new resurrection body, and those saints who are still alive will be transformed as well. It will be a glorious day when we are completely transformed. This transformation will happen instantly, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, by the power of God. Paul says, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, showing that a new resurrection body is absolutely necessary. Then, when the perishable is clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, the power of death will be completely destroyed, because with the resurrection body, no one dies. All throughout human history, death has been the tyrant we lived under. Death was responsible for all kinds of tragedies in man's life. We became bent under the weight of sorrow, anxiety, fear. People's lives are totally arranged around the possibility of death. Roller coasters, cars, and airplanes, they all come with seatbelts and warning labels. Parents want to drive their kids to school instead of letting them walk, fearing that they will be killed or kidnapped. People start to become anxious, wondering if cancer cells are growing inside their body, or whether a little cough will grow into a full-blown disease. Death has been the cruel dictator in history, the undefeated champion. But on that day, when all humans become immortal, death will be stripped of its power. What is written in the Old Testament will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Think about this. A life without even the idea of death. Wow, it'll be totally different. No more life insurance. Instead of having to plan our lives in terms of a period of 70 or 80 years, we can think of it in terms of eternity. I've always wanted to learn the flute, but I never had time. But in the kingdom of God, I can designate 1,000 years to that, no problem. I also want to learn all the martial arts, so another 10,000 years each. Our future plans are unlimited. Man, our lifestyles will be totally different when we don't have to worry about death. The books people write will be so glorious. The songs we sing, how beautiful. No more sorrow, no more pain. Each and every person will be so awesome and cool. My dad will be so good at the piano. My mom will be doing the drums like a rock star. Everything will be different, and we will be able to enjoy heaven freely, obeying God and doing his work with joy. This will be the ultimate victory over the power of death, and this is our hope. When Paul thought about this, he felt so victorious. Death was still working in the lives of people powerfully, and still all people knelt before death, the most powerful enemy in human life. But stood behind Jesus, the real champion, and ridiculed death, saying, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" He was like a little child, hiding behind his mom and ridiculing the bully. So today, mankind is under the power of death. But when Jesus is our Lord, we too can shout these glorious lines, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Let's say this all together, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, with this hope of the resurrection, what should we do? How should we live our life? Paul says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." He gives us two directions. First, stand firm. Let nothing move you. The world and the enemy attack us and try to make us shaky. Many challenges pop up as we struggle to live for God. In serving our sheep, we face many challenges because each person has his or her own problems, which we have absolutely no idea how to solve. Sometimes we come up against wolves and sheep pulling. Ah, it's so scary! But what it's like, also, financial difficulty comes up in our lives. We see other people getting good jobs, becoming successful while we are still poor. Not only that, everyone talks about girlfriends and boyfriends. They look happy. They look like their lives are good. And our families and friends demand, "Why don't you live like that?" They persecute us because we give our hearts to God. And then we get into a car accident, or in my case, a bike accident. On our way to Bible study, to which our sheep don't show up. We just want to collapse at that point. But Paul says, stand firm! Let nothing move you. Instead of merely trying to survive, we must conquer. No matter what the world throws at us, we must face into the storm, challenge it, and hold on to God's words. We must not let ourselves be shaken by the world. Despite all difficulties and challenges, we keep our eyes fixed on Him alone, and then we will hold back to Him. Paul gives us a second charge, saying, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He said, always, not just sometimes, fully, not halfway. With this hope of the resurrection, we must pour our entire lives out for God's sake so that we can be used in His mission work powerfully. That way, when we finally stand before Jesus, He will not look at us with disappointment, but with a big smile on His face as He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. What a happy day that will be." When I first started out, I didn't know how to pour myself out for God. I walked all over campus in a state of utter terror, and finally, 1 hour later, I asked one person to Bible study. Right before I had to go to class. After she rejected me, I thought, okay, that's it, I can't do it. I tried, but I failed. I'm sorry, God, okay, bye. But Jesus' words when He spoke to Simon Peter kept ringing in my head, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." In the book of Joshua, God said, "Be strong and courageous." And during fishing, that became my theme. And I started to ask more and more people. I started to have actual Bible studies, not imaginary ones. And my fears started to go away. It was replaced by a shepherd's heart, one that loved these lost students and wanted them to grow up and become beautiful men and women of God. And now life has become so fun. God sent many sheep, and He even allowed me to serve 14 one-time Bible studies 1 week. God is doing something amazing, even through a terrified girl like me. So, now I must give myself fully to the work of the Lord, because I see that my labor in the Lord is not in vain. When sheep fall away, sometimes I suffer from the sense of loss. When sheep don't show up for Bible study, and I see so many church-going people pursuing their own life in the world freely, I wonder if they're right and I'm wrong, if my whole life is being wasted. But my life is not being wasted, because in working for the Lord, not only does this life become awesome and cool, but also I'm heading toward resurrection with the new body up in heaven. There I can play tennis, basketball, ping pong, all I want without going tired. I can learn how to play the flute, become a martial arts master, and most importantly, I'll have eternity to spend doing God's work without ever losing my strength or wanting to rest. Life without even the concept of death. Life in heaven. There now is my hope, not in this world where things fade away and die, not this miserable land of slavery that only offers me a one-way ticket to hell, instead, the kingdom of God. Man, I just want to go there right now. But first, He has given me a mission, which is to build up His kingdom here on earth. There are times when I fail at it, when I make big mistakes that harden people's hearts against God. There are times when I don't even remember their faces. Once I came to the library lobby and waited for a sheep, and then when he texted me, I realized that he was sitting where? Right next to me. There's no more difficult times when I realize how sinful and weak I am. In doing God's work, I see that I have been trying to be perfect and not fail at all. But when my own weaknesses became clear to me, I was so ashamed and sorrowful because I could not live up to my own expectations. I could see that I was not perfect at all. I was afraid of what people thought of me. I was not wise. I was unable to stand firm like I wanted. But still, Paul says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That verse cuts to the core of my heart, because even though I fail, God still wants me to keep trying, to give myself fully to his work. My limits don't matter, because God has no limit. My failures don't matter, because God is using them to train me, to make me a reliable and effective woman of God. Nothing I do for him is in vain, because I have the hope of the resurrection. So then, I see what God's direction is for me. Instead of putting myself down and giving up so easily, I must give myself fully to his mission for my life. Even when there are obstacles and painful moments, I must hold on to this hope of the resurrection. Because with it, I am no longer afraid, but ready to do whatever God commands. Not with 50%, not 80%, not even 99.99995%, but 100% of my heart and soul.
Amen.
One word. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
Dearly Father, Lord, thank you so much for giving us this new hope in the resurrection, God. Surely, Lord, what we do here is not in vain, Lord, to help us to really give ourselves fully to your mission, that we would not live a life of meaninglessness anymore, but instead really work for you, God, because then we can have this new resurrection faith, God, and then we can not disappoint you, but really make you happy, Lord. Help us to struggle all we can, and Lord, help these people who are here come away with this new resurrection hope, that they would hold on to it, and that even it would change their lives, Lord.
Yes,
I thank you so much for this time. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.